KTRU Houston 91.7 FM. Today we have with us Padma Bhushan Sri Jagjit Singh with us. So welcome to Rice Radio.
Thank you for calling me.
Sir, Jagjit Singh, the legendary ghazal singer, the man with the soul-stirring voice, the voice that can touch a heart, that is what the world knows you. Sir, introduce yourself to us, Jagjit Singh, through your eyes.
I'm a very, very simple man, comes from a middle-class family, but I took serious training in music, and I learned music, I learned how to sing. Now, I can sing anything, I can sing classical, bhajan, ghazal, any other language, it's not difficult. I know the grammar of the music, so I know how to sing, so it's simple for me.
That's what, you learned North Indian classical music at a young age, like Tumri, Khayal, Dadra.
Yeah.
So at what age did you start taking singing lessons, and was it your parents' interest to teach you classical music?
No, my parents were not interested. He was a government servant. He is a totally middle class family. So he wanted me to learn some fine art, any fine art. So he put me into music. So when I was in, I think I was 14 year old when I started learning from teacher. He was a blind teacher. I learned from him for 1 year. Then he found an advanced teacher for me. I learned from him for 6-7 years. Then still I'm learning. I'm learning by listening to others. I keep my ears and mind open. I'm a student of music.
Yeah, learning never stops. So you also have a master's in history. It will be truly interesting to learn Indian history from you. But for now, let's learn the music from you. So you studied music and then you went to history, and then from history you went back to music. So was your degree in history just a backup plan if singing did not work for you?
No, you see, in India every parents they impose their knowledge, they impose their choice. Yeah, our son or our daughter should be doctor or IAS officer, IPS, international foreign affairs, whatever they want. They find it's a good thing. So they impose those kind of ideas on the children. But my training in music was parallel to my studies. Thanks to my father, he put me into touch with the music. So it grew my own interest in that music. So I developed my own taste. I developed my own sources to learn music from different sources. So music was parallel. Main thing was studies. So I graduated from Punjab University. After that, my father was after me that I should join Indian Foreign Services. So for Indian Foreign Services, I choose history, subject history. Actually, I was killing time. I was passing time. I was just looking for a chance to run away from the studies and take music as a profession. So 1965, I decided, without telling my father, I left studies. I didn't complete my post-graduation history. Then I came to Bombay in search of my career in music only.
So at what age did you realize that you were gifted, that you had this amazing voice that could mesmerize the world?
No, voice is gone changing. When I was young, my voice was like girls. Then with age it changes. Still it's in the process of change. So change is the main thing. So I didn't realize. People told me that you have a good voice.
So now that you've learned different music, like the Hindustani music, the Tumri, the Khayal, Dadra, how and why did you choose this particular genre, the ghazals, for yourself?
Ghazals is a part of Indian music. It's a part of, it's a Tumri style singing. But only the poetry is the mainstream. When you sing a ghazal, you concentrate only on poetry. To support the poetry, you compose the tune. You sing, you give your expressions. So because of poetry, because the audience enjoys poetry, everybody doesn't enjoy music. If I go on doing classical music, only limited audience is there for classical music. But for poetry, when poetry is involved in music, some people are fond of poetry, some people are fond of music, there is a surprise in poetry. There is this factor of surprise. So I chose ghazals and I grew with this kind of songs. In my youth, when I was a student, all the film songs were based on ghazals. So it grew with me. In my bloodline, you can say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you had an affinity towards it, kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. So I chose this line and I found it very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So a ghazal may be understood as a poetic expression of both the pain of loss or separation and the beauty of love in spite of that pain. The form is ancient, originating in the 6th century pre-Islamic Arabic verse. In its style and its content, in its genre, which has proved capable of extraordinary variety of expression, are on the central themes of love and separation. So the ghazal spread in South Asia in the 12th century under the influence of new Islamic Sultanate courts and the Sufi mystics. Although the ghazal is most prominent in the form of Persian poetry and Urdu poetry, today it is found in poetry in many languages. So I must say that the most intriguing factor to me is when I listen to ghazal, it's absolutely the deep meaning poetry. It always amazes me what makes the poet write something so meaningful. Does one have to experience something so profound in life to be enlightened to this level? And in your long career, you must have come across some of the finest poets. Could you name a few and introduce them to our listeners?
Okay, let me introduce the ghazal first. Ghazal came, ghazal is only 700 years old art.
Okay.
It came from Persia, Iran. Mm-hmm. It used to be, they used to write in Persian. Because when Mughal came to India, they brought this kind of poetry to India. Ghazals has got certain discipline in writing. Mm-hmm. You have to observe those disciplines. You have to. Strict rules are there to write a ghazal.
Mm-hmm.
Like meter of the line mm-hmm. should be the same. Rhyming of the line should be there. It's very strict.
Mm-hmm.
If it is out of it, it's not ghazal. So ghazal is a format of poetry. And somewhere in 13th century, the first ghazal poet was Wali Dakhni.
Mm-hmm.
Amir Khusro was also there.
Mm-hmm.
Amir Khusro wrote in partly in Persian, partly in Urdu, partly in Indian language also, Brij Bhasha,
okay.
in those days. Some of his poetry is a mixture of Persian and Brij Bhasha. So the format is ghazal. The discipline of the poetry is ghazal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why its ghazal became popular, because it has got rhythm. It has got force. When you rhyme two lines, the force in the poetry is there. You can express your thoughts beautifully. And secondly, the ghazal deals every kind of subjects. If there are four couplets in a ghazal, mm-hmm. every couplet will carry different meaning, different subject.
Mm-hmm.
One couplet will carry romance. Second couplet will carry the philosophy of life.
Mm-hmm.
Third couplet will carry separation. So you can... It's an independent thought in every couplet. But still a combination of all these is called ghazals. Ghazal is a title of it's a type of poetry which has got certain discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Then when ghazal became popular, the Mughals were ruling the India. They mostly in their darbar, in their courtyard, they used to call different poets to listen to the poetry. So, Ghalib is the most prominent name.
Mm-hmm.
In Bahadur Shah Zafar was the last Mughal of India.
Mm-hmm.
And Bahadur Shah Zafar's court, Ghalib was the main poet.
Mm-hmm.
His teacher was, Bahadur Shah Zafar was the teacher was Ghali.
Mm-hmm.
Ghali is another big name. So, but Ghalib is supposed to be the father of Ghazal.
Mm-hmm.
Still. I have sung Ghalib in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
This after Ghalib was born in 15th or 16th century.
1797.
1790. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after 300 years, I sang, and still it looks fresh.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about today.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the ghazal poets are not only poets; they are actually philosophers.
Mm.
They put their philosophy into poetic form.
Mm.
That's why it becomes very interesting.
very nice explanation. Thank you so much for telling us all in detail. Some of the very well-known Persian mystic poets, was one of them was Jalal al-Din Muhammad Rumi of the 13th century, and Hafiz of the 14th century, and Azerian poet Fazuli in 16th century, and Mirza Ghalib was from 1797 to 1869, and Muhammad Iqbal from 1877 to 1938, and who wrote both in Persia and Urdu. 1749 to 1832, the Ghazals became very popular in Germany in the 19th century, and the form was extensively used later. So I think that was amazing to know that, you know, during open...
Like German language has adopted this form. Mm-hmm. The other languages, other like Gujarati, Punjabi, Bengali, other languages have adopted this form of poetry. Mm-hmm. It's a disciplined form of poetry.
Mm.
So any language can be, it can be written in any language.
Mm-hmm.
Any subject can be covered in this.
Mm-hmm.
And Rumi and you are talking about the other poets.
Yeah.
They are actually philosophers. They are Sufi poets.
Uh-huh.
They didn't write in Urdu. They write only in their own language.
Oh, okay.
Rumi, I think, wrote into only Persian. But they wrote in the same discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the poetry, they wrote in Ghazal discipline.
Okay.
Ghazal is a format of poetry.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
The Urdu Ghazal was started in India only.
So, who do you think is important in a Ghazal? The lyricist, the musician, or the singer? Would a ghazal be a lusterless, mundane poem if not sung by someone, some of the best of the best? And also, if it's not given some exceptional music to it, will it have been like...
Neat. When you come to the performance, everything is important. First of all, poetry is important. Poetry should be understandable. Yesterday when I was singing, I knew that this much language the audience can understand. If I sing the chaste Urdu, the difficult Urdu, they will not understand. It will go there beyond their head.
Mm-hmm.
So, simple poetry with good thought is very important thing in today's ghazal.
Mm-hmm.
Second important thing is rendition, how you present your ghazals. And third is the music. Music can be it's a melodious music will do. I don't have to be very, very classical type. But I am carrying with my musicians, they are very classical type. They are solo artists in their own rights. So they carry the audience with them. So it's a sone pe swaga, jisko Hindi bolte hain. It's a blessing in disguise.
Uh-huh, is an added bonus.
Yeah. So totality of the performance should be good. Good poetry, good voice, good rendition, and good music. Totality is there, you are successful. When something is missing, it means people will criticize. Yeah, music was not good, or poetry was not good, or rendition was not good. Something they will criticize.
You have always said that you literally pick and choose the best of the best to sing. But if urged, do you think an expert ghazal singer and musician like yourself could have a Midas touch and make an ordinary ghazal into an extraordinary one?
No, it's not like that. I must put it this other way. Because God had blessed me something to choose the right kind of poetry.
Mm.
I don't know from where he got this this art to choose the right kind of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read a ghazal, it's come to my mind that it will click. This will be hit.
Mm-hmm.
This can go with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because emotions are there. The surprise factor is there. Language is simple. So I can make out from the ghazal. It can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the choice of my own. Then I compose my ghazal myself.
Okay,
where to break the phrase, how to express, what kind of combination of ragas I choose. For a particular subject, if it is a serious subject, I chose serious ragas. If it is a romantic, I chose romantic ragas. And accordingly, I select the rhythm also. Rhythm is also selected according to the words.
Okay.
So it's a totality of my presentation.
Yeah.
which is a name of Jagjit Singh.
Okay, so you mean that even if you're given a very ordinary ghazal, you
no,
might...
No, no, ordinary ghazal, I can't help.
You cannot help. So there's no chance for those poets, huh?
There has to be something in the ghazal. Some beauty in the poetry has to be there.
Uh-huh. So, you have sung in many Indian languages. You could kindly sing a couple of Indian languages songs for us? Like in Gujarati or Punjabi?
It's not difficult to sing in language, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember the language.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn the language.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Like the Punjabi ghazal. Mm-hmm. I will give you the example. Mainu tera shabab le baitha. This is the first misra, first line. Mainu tera shabab le baitha. Rang gora gulab le baitha. Mainu, in first line, mainu tera shabab le baitha. Shabab is kafiya, le baitha is radif.
Okay.
In second misra, rang gora gulab. Shabab is matching with gulab.
Okay.
Le baitha is radif.
Uh-huh.
So this becomes matla.
Okay.
The first couplet of the ghazal is called matla. Mainu tera shabab le baitha, rang gora gulab le baitha, kinni biti te kinni baaki e, kinni biti te kinni baaki e. Mainu eho hisab le baitha. The meaning of the ghazal, the first couplet is ke your youthfulness has killed me.
Yeah.
Killed means I'm uh-huh. impressed with you, the youth.
Uh-huh.
Your rang gora gulab le baitha. Your white color,
uh-huh.
your fair color
uh-huh.
is very impressive. I'm impressed with that.
Uh-huh.
Then second couplet he says that how much is I have spent my life, how much is rest, how much I have spent, how much is rest.
Mm-hmm.
This calculation has killed me.
Oh.
I'm confused with this calculation.
Very, very deep meaning.
So,
nice.
The second
mm-hmm.
Couplet becomes philosophical. First is romantic.
Mm-hmm.
Third is again, Mainu jadvi tusi ho yaad aaye. Whenever I remember you,
mm-hmm.
I take a glass of whiskey and sit.
Uh-huh.
Din dehaade, in daytime also I start drinking.
Uh-huh.
Din dehaade sharab le baitha.
Uh-huh. Very nice, very nice.
So this is Punjabi ghazal.
Uh-huh.
Aur Urdu ghazal. Intihaj ishq ki kar di. Intihaj ishq ki kar di. Aapke naam zindagi kar di. Intiha, ultimate.
Okay, limitless.
Limitless, I have fallen in love with you. I am loving you limitlessly.
Uh-huh.
How? I have given my life for that.
Uh-huh.
Zindagi, I have written my life in your name.
Ah, very touching. And
Gujarati ghazal. Jeevan maran che ek bahu bhagyavant chu. Jeevan maran che ek. Life and death is same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am very lucky that I am living because matari upar maru chu. Expression in Indian poetry is main tum pe marta hun. Mala, I die on you.
Yeah.
Mala, I die for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm living.
Uh-huh.
I'm living to die on you. So for me, death
very
and
romantic, right?
For me, death and life is same.
Uh-huh. Very, very nice.
So this can be adopted. Any language can adopt ghazal form.
Mm-hmm.
It's not difficult. The German can involve even. There are some English poets also
mm.
in the history of ghazal. there are some when the English people ruled India, there were some English poets who wrote in Urdu. They are in the history. They have written good poetry.
So it is said that you brought ghazals to the masses. Ghazals was originally only for the elite. So how did you bring about this huge trend?
No, I didn't do anything special. I actually improved my performance. So my canvas became big. I also started from the small crowd, about 200 people, 100 people. Small drawing room concerts. Then people started liking. They booked auditorium 500 seats. Then they booked bigger auditorium 200 seats. Then they booked 3,000. So my canvas starting expanding. Spreading because it's because of my total performance, totality in the performance. Because you will find in my performance, there's ghazal also, there is classical also, there's Punjabi folk song also, and sometime I sing Gujarati also, I crack some jokes also. So my communication with the audience is very good. That my performance has brought me to this level. And that's why the ghazal has become common.
Also, I think as you explained earlier, that you would judge the audience and say, okay, this they would not understand, even if you sang that part of it. So probably that kind of thing, there's a bonding with between you and the audience is because you speak their language.
But in audience, you see, you have to assess the audience within 2-3 minutes, first 2-3 minutes. See what kind of poetry they can take. So accordingly, I shape up my performance.
So you also brought changes to the instruments that were conventionally used for ghazal singing. So what musical instrument did you introduce to ghazals?
The convention, I don't believe in traditional conventions. You see, convention is when you stop progressing, when you don't grow with the time. It means tradition. You can't cope up with the time. You want to stick to the same old thing. Why? When latest sound is available, latest technique available, latest different, every instrument goes same notes. Sarega pada ni da ni da ma ga re da. Every instrument has same notes. You must know how to use it. So why not experiment with them? Why not live with the time? So people who believe in tradition and conventional, it means they don't want to grow. They want to live in the shell.
So ghazals, I may say, has evolved in its own way over the years. And what are the limitations to the advancement?
There is no limitation in ghazal. You can do whatever you want to do. You can, in my performance, I play with the ghazal. My musicians, they play jazz music, they play different kind of format.
So the government of India bestowed upon you the Padma Bhushan Award in 2003. And 3 years later, you also received the Teachers Achievement Award. What are the place of these awards in your life?
Awards, yeah, it's important. You feel a good feeling that you've been recognized, your work has been recognized, especially from the government of India, the highest Padma Bhushan Award I got.
So, as a teacher, and we are from Rice University, what would be the one lesson for ghazal writers, singers, as well as musicians? What is the take-home message for us? What would you tell us?
I will explain to you like this. If you want to become a doctor, you have to do 12 years in school, 12 or 14 years in school, then 5-6 years in doctor's degree, then 3 years further advanced, then 2-3 years for practical experience. So you invest around 24-25 years of your life, then you become doctor. Same thing applies on engineer or any other profession. So when you want to become a musician, you should invest at least 20 years in music, learning the music first. And when you learn the music, you are confident of music, you know the grammar of music, you can do anything in music. Then language is not a barrier. If you are a Punjabi, I can sing in my mother tongue. If I am Hindi speaking, I can sing in Hindi. If I am Urdu speaking, I can sing in Urdu. And whatever you want to sing in, whichever language you want to sing in, you must know the language first. The pronunciation, the grammar of language, you must understand the poetry written in that language. If you don't understand the poetry, you cannot give expression. It will be flat singing.
Exactly.
It means there is no relation between singing and poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I advise them, learn properly, learn musically, don't run after these reality shows which makes you overnight a star, then you are fade out next month. Don't run after those kind of bubble type career.
That's a very important message that you're giving.
It's a bubble type of career, I call it. So because the reality shows are making money, they make money. The TV station and channels, they make money.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else make money.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good message.
They excite the people, they excite the public, they make money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is harmful for a newcomer.
Mm-hmm. So do you practice every day since the time that you started singing?
Yeah, whenever I'm in my hometown, I live in Bombay. So my routine is I get up around 7:30. I go for a walk for 1 hour. I walk for 3-4 miles. Then I do little light exercise. Then I have a cup of tea, then I come home. Then after breakfast, I sit with my music for two hours at least.
Every single day?
Every single day. Mm-hmm. I have to keep form. It means I have to exercise. My vocal exercise is called. I don't sing ghazals at home.
Mm.
I practice my vocal chords.
Of course.
It's a different kind of training, which I have learned from classical music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm 68 years old. Still, my voice is in a good form.
Mm-hmm.
I call it. So the daily practice makes you fit.
Mm-hmm. Like any exercise.
Yeah, any exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I avoid oily things. Mm-hmm. I avoid ice. Ice is not a good for.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't drink. I don't smoke. I have smoked.
Mm-hmm.
I smoked for 30 years. One day I suddenly left.
Give up smoking. That's a very important message that you're sending again.
Yeah, smoking is a very bad thing.
So, before we say bye to you, may I request you to sing a couple of my favorite ghazals?
Hum to yun apni zindagi se mile ajnabi jaise ajnabi se mile.
Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. And we truly appreciate from Rice Radio for you to spend some time with us and share your thoughts and give us an educational lesson and ghazals. We from Rice Radio, Rice Radio, thank you. And also to Mr. Mohit Khan of Bollywood Shows for you to give us this opportunity. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.